Kof Zayin Nissan, Thursday the 19th of April, Rabbi Baruch Djalovsky, a preemptive strike.
Pleasure to be here once again. Before we came to London, at the beginning of Bein HaZmanim, I told my children that we're going to have a great time in London, we're going to go on lots of outings, but we've got to make sure after davening every single day, we have a kviyas, we're going to learn together. So my oldest son said to me, he said, "Oh Dad, you mean we have to make sure we start the day the Torah way." So this project really has forwarded to the next generation. It should continue to go mechoyer al chol. A preemptive strike. Somebody met me in shul yesterday and said, "Are you talking about Israel and Iran?" It's nothing to do with that. It's not a political platform. What I'd like to discuss is a shaila. Tragically, this shaila happened. A Rav in Eretz Yisrael was approached a number of years ago by a chozer b'tshuva who presents him with the following conundrum. He says, "As you are aware, I used to not lead a frum way of life. I was over averus, and I'm embarrassed to admit my career choice wasn't the greatest either. I used to be in the drug trade. I, together with a partner, we had a shutfus. He brought his clients into the partnership, I brought mine, and together we had a shutfus selling drugs. One day, I decided for various reasons I'd like to go it my own now. And I wanted to split up from the partnership. And I informed my partner that the time has come, we're going to go our own ways now." And he was very put out, my shutfus. "What do you mean? If you just split up the whole shutfus, this could jeopardize my whole success in the future. You can't leave," he said. And we got engaged in a whole argument. "I can leave. I brought these clients into the shutfus in the first place. I have every right, my prerogative, to leave. And there ensued a whole debate, and the argument became more and more violent. In the end, the shutfus said, "Listen here, if you dare leave," he warned his shutfus, "if you dare leave and take your clients with you, then I'm warning you now, I'm going to kill you." That's what he said. "I'm warning you now, if you dare take your clients on your own, I'm going to kill you." It's called Shuvah telling the Rav. He says, "You know, in this type of trade, these threats are pretty real. And I really was concerned. I was concerned for my life." So he tells the Rav, "What should I tell you? I'm embarrassed to say, but I had no choice. I took the ultimate preemptive strike and I killed him. So we ask the Rav, "So what do I do now? I've tried to chazer b'tshuva and do tshuva on all the averus that I've committed in my previous life, but I'm not sure what the halacha is in this case. When I took this preemptive strike, I killed him in order to save my own life. Was that permitted? Does that have anything to do with the famous parsha of Reideif? I was being pursued, my own life was under threat. Perhaps that therefore gives me the right to defend my life. What's the story? What's the halach?" So what that Rav paskened, I don't know. But let's just examine the shaila a little bit and see perhaps at least the tzadim, if not the psak of the shaila. We are of course all familiar with the halacha. If somebody comes to kill you, hashkein v'horgoy, you have every right to defend your life and to kill him. We learn it from Psukim. The Torah says, "Habov machteres." If somebody comes, tunnels his way under your house, and even though strictly speaking he's not out to get your life, he's really there just to steal from you. But as Chazal explained and the Rambam writes for us, that we know that a person is bohul al-namoinai. And this could very likely end up in more than just a case of theft. He is after your life, in fact. Therefore, you can defend your life. That's halacha avreda. If he's pursuing you, he's out to kill you, you may take the preemptive strike and kill him. In fact, as we are aware, it's not just the person who's being pursued who has the right to take the law into his own hands. It's the onlooker as well. Reuven is running after Shimon, gun drawn. Levi, the passerby, has every right, and in fact a chiyuv, to save the life of Shimon, is being pursued by killing Reuven. And that's, of course, where this shaila now comes into play. Because this person who's now having his life under threat, because the shutav says, if you take the clients with you, he's going to kill him, does that therefore mean that we have arrived at the pasha of Radif?
He has a choice not to
take the partnership. So the reason why this shaila isn't a straightforward case of Radif is really for one of two reasons. Number one, as you very correctly mentioned, this person has a choice. He doesn't have to split the partnership. He's really brought it upon himself. And even though it's true he has every right to bring it upon himself, but now that he's been given this ultimatum, either you leave the clients here or face the possibility of death, the choice is his. So leave the clients there. And we'll explain this tzad better. Because really we know, the Gemara tells us, Mefurish, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Dalet, that even though it's true that if somebody is being pursued, he has every right to take the law into his own hands and kill his attacker. But that's only if there is no alternative option. As the Gemara tells us, if it's efshel lahatzil be'echad me'evorov, if it's possible to fend off the attacker by not killing him, just by injuring him, by maiming him, I can shoot him in the foot, I can shoot him in the leg, and he won't kill me, then that's what I've got to do. And if it's possible to do so, and I nonetheless kill the attacker, then in fact I'm chayav misa. I'm a ritzeach. You're only allowed to kill the attacker if there is no other viable option on the table. But if I can somehow defend myself by shooting him, by injuring him, by negotiating with him, then I have absolutely no right to kill him. It was unnecessary to kill him. Killing is an absolutely last resort option. If that's the case, then really this is what you're asking. Over here, this person has the choice, has the option of leaving the clients in the business. Now it's true, they were his own clients, he brought them into the trade, but he cannot say that I have no option whatsoever but to take the life of my shutav. I do have an option. I have an option. Leave the clients behind. Is that called yochel lahatzil be'echad me'evarov? Is that the same as being able to shoot the attacker in the leg? So too over here. I can defend myself without having to resort to murder this shutav of mine. How so? By giving in to his demands. Is that the same or is it not the same?
Can we say that he's going to kill him, doesn't mean he's killing him, he's not allowed to, because saying something, if you wouldn't have a gun, then he can shoot the other.
So here comes the second point. You said two things in the same sentence, I'm not sure which one you meant. Whichever was the right one. It's like when we were in yeshiva. Rebbe, one of my rebbeim, was real Rosenbaum. Always used to declare, "Hakira, no, my rabbi said, what do you say?" Of course, there's always stone silence. He said, "No, it doesn't matter. Whatever you say is right. It's machlekes rishenim." So I'll call upon him. The normal standard case of Reuven is Reuven is pursuing Shimon, gun drawn. He is currently engaged in an act of murder. In our story, he's not murdering him. He's threatening him that he says, if you do the following, then I'm going to kill you. Now, you said something else. You also said that, well, it's only words. Who says he's going to do it? That's a different shaila. That's a risk. You're not mukhriyav to hang about to see whether he meant it or not. It might then be too late. So we're assuming that he had every right to assume that if he says it, he means it. But nonetheless, you still have the right to ask. Okay, he means it. He absolutely means it. But it's still not quite the same as a regular razor, where the pursuer is currently involved and engaged in running after his victim, trying to kill him. Here, he's not running after everybody. He says, listen here, make the choice. Make the choice. And that's really why we've called today's shiur, it's the preemptive strike. It's not quite the same as a regular roide, which is not a preemptive strike. He's there trying to kill the victim now. These are both shilas that need to be examined. There won't be time to look at it all today.
So it is the same, it is the same as Iran.
Could be. Like all of these shilas, joking apart, when one country attacks another, as in the case of Eretz Yisrael, it's being spoken about a lot. These are halachic shilas. It was well documented after the raid of Entebbe. So we know the spectacular success that happened in that story. But Rav Shach said afterwards, Muridika Das Teira, he said he wasn't asked, nor was any other Gadol B'Yisrael or any other Rav in Eretz Yisrael asked whether it was the correct thing to do or not. And he said a phenomenal thing, we're just veering off. He said the fact that the mission was so successful in no way proves one way or another whether the mission was correct halachically to carry out or not. It happened to be that Eretz Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, Matzliach. But that in no way vindicates the decision to go and attack. It's a halachic shayla. Like you say, it's a halachic shayla. To go and fly out and put Yidin's life at risk in order to save others is a shayla, halacha l'maisa. So, we're not passing in Hilchos Iran today. We turn our attention to Parshas Pinchas, the end of Parshas Balak, where the Gemara famously tells us the halacha of Haboyel Aromis Kanoim Hoigim Boy. If somebody is engaged in an immoral act with a non-Jew in public, then there is the halacha of Kanoim Hoigim Boy, which really means you can take the law into your own hands. The Gemara says whether it does so, it's a wonderful mitzvah. However, halacha ve'ein moirim came. You'd never pask in this halacha. As the Gemara says, Pinchas himself consulted with Moshe Rabbeinu, should I or should I not do this? Moshe Rabbeinu says nothing. Chazal tell us, in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu himself had forgotten the halacha. But Al Kapanim, we never pasken this. We would never sanction this halacha. If you want to go and do it, halacha, but the ein moirin king. And that's indeed what Pinchas did. Pinchas carried out this kiyum of Kanoim Poigimboy, and he went and killed Zimri. This halacha of Kanoim Poigimboy has very interesting gedolim. It's not your regular chiyuv misa, obviously. Nowhere else in the Torah can you take the law into your own hands. If you see somebody mechalal Shabbos, the fahesia, absolutely clearly, no shaila about it, it's a clear chilul Shabbos, you can't chas v'shalom kill him. If you kill him, you're a tzeach d'oraisa. There's halach of Eidos and Hasra and Bezdin and a Mishpat. You can't take the law into your own hands. Here's the special exception. This person isn't essentially mechuyev misa, otherwise Bezdin would have to organize it. Halacha ve'ein moirim kein, kanoim poigim boy. Says the Gemara, number one, you can only carry out this kanos b'shas maisa as the act is happening, as it's happening. Which is unlike, of course, all other oinshim in our Torah. If somebody's mechalal Shabbos, it could be 50 years ago. We can now bring him to Bezdin, try him, sentence him, and kill him now. It's not b'shas maisa. He's not being mechalal Shabbos now. Happened years ago. But that's halacha, chiyuv misas bezdin. When it comes to kanoim poigim boy, that's a different story. It has to occur b'shas maisa. If Zimri would stop the act of the Aveira, Pinchas has no right to kill him. And if Pinchas kills Zimri, then Pinchas is considered a rotzeach. He's only allowed to kill Zimri if Zimri is currently engaged in the act. He's in mid-Aveira. B'shas Maisa. That's one halach. Here comes an even more bizarre halach. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin in Daf Pei Beis, that it's true. It's true. Pinchas has every right to take the law into his own hands and attack and kill Zimri. Kill Zimri. But as we said, it's not a chiv. Pinchas is not mechuyev to kill Zimri. In fact, if he asks Beis Din, should he or shouldn't he, Beis Din will never give him the green light. Halacha ve'ein mayirim kein. But he's allowed to do it. Says the Gemara, if Zimri would now turn around and kill Pinchas, then that's fine. He's off the hook. Because Pinchas is considered a roidef achar Zimri. A roidef achar Zimri, and therefore Zimri is allowed to defend his own life. That seems a startling thing to say. What do you mean Pinchas is a roidef achar Zimri? The Torah has allowed him to be that roidef. It's not that he's decided to pick up a gun and kill somebody for no good reason. The Torah has said that there is a halacha of v'boil arom miskanoim poignim boy. He's allowed to do this. Nevertheless, the Rishonim, the Yad Ramah, and others explain that he's allowed to. But he's not mechuyev to. And if he's not mechuyev to do that, then Zimri essentially is being pursued and attacked by somebody who's not obligated to kill him. Can you imagine? Imagine if somebody be mechalal Shabbos. Imagine if somebody be mechalal Shabbos. Eidos, Hasra, the whole works. Comes to Beis Din, okay, they've decided he's going to get killed. They take him out to kill him. And he now turns around and he kills the executor. That of course he has no right to do. Of course he has no right to do, because the one who's killing him has a chiyuv, a mitzvah d'oraisa, to kill him. That's not what we're talking about over here. Pinchas has no chiyuv to kill Zimri. It's an option. It might be a very commendable thing, but it's not a chiyuv. And if it's not a chiyuv, Zimri can turn around and he can kill Pinchas with the din of roidef. That's what the Gemara says. That's the interesting halacha of Kanoim Pagan Boy.
You could say here as well that you could stop the Maisa.
So you're asking the big question. This is the big question that all the Mefarshim, the Gedolei Achronim, are very troubled by in this Gemara. We just said two halachas, which when you think about it, are contradictory. We said, halacha number one, that Pinchas only has a right to kill Zimri, b'shas meisa. If Zimri would stop, no chiyuv misa. No right to be mekayem this halacha of kanos. Halacha number one. Halacha number two, is that Zimri can turn around and kill Pinchas. Chen nachreinim, I don't understand. The halacha of every roidef is, as we mentioned before, you only kill the attacker if there's no other option on the table. Last resort. If it's Efshel Hatzul Be'echod Me'evarov, if you can get rid of him in some other way, not taking his life, and you're mechuyev to do so. And if you don't, and you kill the attacker, then you yourself are chayev misa. Zimri has the easiest option on the table. Just stop being over that there. Stop being over the Avera. As we said, Kanoim Poigim Boy can only be carried out during the act of the Avera. If it's 1 second later, there's no din of Kanoim Poigim Boy. So how can you tell me in the same sentence that Pinchas can only kill Zimri during the Avera, and then you're telling me that Zimri has the right to turn around and kill Pinchas? Why should he kill Pinchas? I have a far more comfortable option. Stop being over that here. Don't do the Aveira. Once you don't do the Aveira, Pinchas will arrive on the scene. Sorry, Pinchas, it's too late. It's too late. You can't kill me now because I'm not currently engaged in the Aveira. Surely this should be his Chiev, Zimri's Chiev, Bedin, Efshe Lahatzel, the Echad Me'evor. You don't kill Pinchas if you have another option on the table. This is the kasha that bothers many of the Achrim.
How fine do you go down to the detail? If he stops being in the act to turn to kill him, he's first stopped, therefore he's no longer
in the act.
Being in the act, therefore Pinchas can no longer kill him.
100%.
Therefore he no longer has the...
That's the question. That is exactly the question. So if I let Pinchas stop, let Zimri stop.
They're saying he stopped to defend himself, so that's why he's
stopped.
He still killed
So So some say
defend himself. He's not doing enough.
Oh, he's saying good nakuda, which we weren't going to mention. But some say precisely, if you stop only because you want to kill the attacker, you want to kill Pinchas, then you haven't let him stop the aver. You're planning on carrying on the aver. Okay, yesh l'odun boze, yesh l'odun boze, yesh l'odun boze. Some would like to suggest that here is a makor for the big chiddush of the Mizrahi in Parshas Vayishlach, of the Mishnah Melech in Hilchos Reitzeach. The Mizrahi there is discussing the vikuach between Yaakov and Esav. We know the famous Rashi, it's a Gemara, that Yaakov was worried maybe he'll kill Esav, maybe he would be killed. And there is a lot of discussion about Hilchos there as well. What was he concerned about? That he may kill Esav? He's allowed to kill Esav, because Esav is coming to kill him. So what exactly was he concerned about? There's a lot of discussion there. But B'Teich HaDvarim, the Mizrahi comes up with a phenomenal chiddush, and he says, it's true that if you can somehow prevent the murder by not killing him, by maiming him, by injuring him, then that's what you have to do. That's halacha. Efshel lahatzil be'echod me'evarov, says the Mizrahi. However, that only applies to the onlooker, to the passerby, but not to the victim himself. If Reuven is running after Shimon, Shimon can kill Reuven at all costs. Even if in theory it would be possible for Shimon to turn around and shoot him in the foot, and not shoot him in the head, he's got no chiyuv to do so. The onlooker, Levi, who happens to be an innocent passerby, and he's watching this scene unfold in front of him, he has to save the day by rather not killing Reuven, but by maiming him. But not for the victim himself. Not for the victim himself. There's a lot of discussion why that should be the case, but some want to say that that's chat over here as well. Pinchas is running after Zimri. So the Gemara tells us, Zimri can turn around and kill Pinchas. We ask the Kasha, what do you mean? Why can you kill Pinchas? I have a far easier option. Just being stopped in the Aveira. Some would like to say, no, Kuntz Mizrachit Gewaldi. The victim himself, Zimri, he's not Mechuyev in this halach of Eshel Ahatzel Be'echad Me'evorov. He's allowed to kill the attacker at all costs. And that's what the Gemara means. He doesn't have to stop being over the Aveira. He can turn around and kill Pinchas. Some want to suggest this. I think it's very schwer, and I'll tell you why. Because if you look in the Loshon of the Mizrahi there, the Mizrahi says, do you know why it is that the victim doesn't have to save himself by injuring the attacker, but rather he can just kill the attacker? He says that the victim is different to a passerby. A victim is bohul. He's frantic. He can't think straight. If somebody's coming to run after you, you can't think straight. You can't tell him now, well, be careful when you aim your gun, aim low, don't aim high. There's no chiyuv. He's bold. The Torah can't expect somebody who's being chased after and is being threatened with his life, you can't expect him now to be able to discern between shooting him in the leg, shooting him in the head. That's why there's no chiyuv to be matzal be'echad me'evar. Well, if that's the case,
why can't you expect him to stop doing what he's doing? Stop doing what he's doing. Why can't you expect him that?
Why can't you?
To define where to shoot him, I understand. But why can't you expect Zimri to stop doing the Aveira?
Oh, that's my kasha. Very good. That's my kasha. That's all very nice when Reuven is running after Shimon with a gun. So Shimon is bold. Shimon is bold. You can't expect him to shoot here, shoot there. But over here, Pinchas is running after Zimri. So what are you going to tell me? Zimri is bold? Well, he's so bold, he can't be stopped with Aveira. It's easier for him to kill Pinchas than to be stopped over the Aveira. Lechay is not shayach, the whole vat of the Mizrahi over here. 100%.
He's worried that Pinchas is bahul. Yeah. He's worried that Pinchas won't realize the word of halacha, or let's see what he does.
I'll be mechazi yakasha. I'll be mechazi yakasha. What time do we finish? 9?
No,
not 9:30. There's a huge Indian, but I had your kasha. I must admit, I had your kasha on all the achrinim. The Gemara tells us that Klal Yisrael didn't know this halacha. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know the halacha. So what's the big kash over here? That Zimri should have been pirush from the Aveira, and then Pinchas would have stopped. Zimri is there. He watched Pinchas running after him with a sword. What did he expect him to do? Take Ashtikal Torah, listen to the Torah way drasha. He sees Pinchas running after him, get angry, so he killed him. There is a Tarek Takash, but after upon him, we're going to run out of time. So here we have the question, why is Pinchas, Zimri, allowed to kill Pinchas? There's a far easier option, and that is just stop doing the Aveir.
But it's a crime of passion, so he's not really, he can't apply those sort of same.
When you see somebody chasing his life, your passion goes away.
I'll call Ponovoifen. If Shlomo Zalman is a Chayim Elavrochen, he's Stefan, Mincha Shlomo, the Caliph Simon Zayn. Based on this kasha is Mechadish, a Gewaldig Chiddush, a phenomenal Chiddush. And he says, as big a Chiddush as this sounds, I have arrived from a Pasuk in the Torah. Shlomo Zalman says, what would be in the following case? The following case, you're sitting there, minding your own business, eating your apple. Somebody knocks on your door, guns blazing, and he says, listen here, if you don't stop eating that apple, I'm going to kill you. So what are his options? If I carry on eating, he's going to kill me. So maybe I can kill him back, I'll throw it. Or, there's a far easier option, just stop eating the apple. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, he's not mechuyev to stop eating the apple. And he can kill the attacker. Why? Eshel ha'atzul be'echad me'evarov. It's far more comfortable to stop eating the apple than it is to kill this fellow. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, such a simple svar, although it's a big chiddush. Eshel ha'atzul be'echad me'evarov does not mean giving in to the demands of your attacker. If you can defend yourself, the Torah is mechayev to defend yourself. How so? Whatever the scenario. If it takes killing the attacker, I have to kill him. If I can injure him, injure him. But giving in to his every whim and demand, that's not actually hatzal be'echad me'evarov. That's just giving in to his demands. I'm eating the apple. I have every right to eat the apple. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, you can pick up your gun and kill this fellow. Rav Shlomo Zalman is not sure, although in the end he brings a raya, he takes his father. Not just if you're eating an apple, if you're eating a piece of chaza. You're eating on Yom Kippur. Person knocks on your door, if you don't stop eating on Yom Kippur, I'm going to shoot you. You're allowed to kill him. Why? You're eating on Yom Kippur. True. But this fellow has no right to tell me off at the point of death. He's got a chiyah to tell me off. But not at the point of death. I can carry on eating my nevela. Or on Yom Kippur, not the heter. But if it means I've got to kill his attacker, so be it. And says Rav Shlomo Zalman, if this sounds mechudosh to you, I'll arrive from a posuk in the Torah. We started off with this posuk. Habob machteres. Somebody tunnels his way under your house. Why is he coming? Take your money. So Chazal tell us, it's Baal HaMamoynes, give him the money to argue. Give him the money. Give him the money. If he gives you, if you give him the money, he's certainly not going to kill you. The only reason we're worried this is going to end up in a violent situation is because a person is Baal HaMamoynes. You're going to want to keep hold of your own money. It's going to end up in a fight. Maybe it's going to end up killing you. Say to us to kill him back. So the Shlim Zalman have a far easier answer. Give him the money. Give him the money. You see from the Torah that no, the fact that he wants the money, and if he doesn't get it, he's going to kill me, does not mean that I'm mechuyev to give in to his demands. Oh, fine, here, take the money. Eshel hatzul be'echad me'evarov. No! If he wants to take my money, and failure to reach his purpose, he's going to kill me, I can go and kill him. That's the chiddush of Rav Shlomo Zalman. Shmuel Rozovsky says the same as well. If that's the case, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that's the point in Zimri as well. It's true. In theory, Zimri could have just stopped being over the Aveira, and that would have prevented Pinchas. I'm not mechuyev. I'm not mechuyev to give in to the demands of my oncoming attacker. It's true, he's being over an Aveira, no shayla about it, being Boel Aromis, there's a shayla, it's certainly an Issa. But nonetheless, if it means giving in to the demands of the attacker, that's not my chiv. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman's pshat in that Gemara. Zimri has every right to turn around and kill Pinchas, Because even though there's a far easier option, simply just stop doing over the Avera, you're not Mukhiv. That's not called defending yourself, that's merely giving in to the demands of the attack. And if that's the case, Mirav Rabbeisai, at least we're in a position to assess that maybe in our story that we began with, where this Shutav is now worried for his life. His partner has told him, if he takes the clients with him, that's it. He's going to kill him. So he killed him back. So you asked, what do you mean? Raise it. I have a far easier option. Give him the clients. Then you don't have to kill him. According to this Chiddush from Shlomo Zalman, there's Mokum Godel Loima to say that no. It's true I can give him the clients, but I'm not Mokhuyev to do so. They're my clients. I'm not Mokhuyev to give in to the demands of my Shutav. And I'll tell you more. Even if they weren't my clients, even if I was stealing his clients, so be an Issa. But again, he has no right to put a gun to my head to stop me doing that.
But he didn't. He threatened.
In a Chanami. So we're saying his threat is absolutely real. He's going to do it. So now to hold my hands up and say, fine, I want to save the day. I don't want to kill you. I'd rather give you the clients. You have no right to do that. You have no right to do that. And we'll just finish off. Halacha, hopefully, later myself. But if you're standing in a bank and a person walks in with a gun, and he puts his gun to the cashier and he says, give me £1,000,000 or I'm going to kill you. The cashier has every right, but didn't really do, obviously, to turn around and kill the attacker. What happens if the guy runs in with a gun and he says to the cashier, I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to kill this person over here, this innocent passerby, if you don't give me £1,000,000. According to Rav Shlomo Zalman, the cashier has every right to kill this robber. Because I'm not mechuyev to give in to your demands. You will take the money unless I have a far easier option. I could save this innocent passerby's life. How? Just give him £1,000,000. Says the Shem Islam, I'm not mechuyev to do that. I'm not mechuyev to give in his demand just for the sake of saving his life. So I can pick up the gun and kill the robber.
At least the onlooker
in this case. Yeah, the onlooker. That would be the nafkamina. Enachanami, that would be the nafkamina. According to the Mizrahi, this cashier, Bedin Eshela Hatzel, the Echomi Varav, would be Mukhir to give him the money, perhaps. But according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, no, you don't have to give him the money. You could save somebody's life, you don't have to. Because you're not Mukhir to give in to his demands. So, too, in our case, I'm not sure what the Rav paskens, but l'chayir, there's big mokum to say that you were not mukhayir to give in to the demands of your shutav, to give him the client, and therefore you have every right to kill him. Just ensure, Mr. Hashem, this shay is not halakha l'maisa.
Amen.